listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is in studio with me this afternoon. And Paul, welcome. We're going to be talking about education today.
We are, and I'm excited to do it. So thanks for having me on again.
Well, I kind of laugh at questions sometimes that we pose to one another about this issue, but let's start right off. Would education work in a more rational world, Paul?
Well, education would work a lot differently if we hadn't decided, going back to the days of the founding fathers, they really wanted our population to be educated, and they thought at the time that the best way to do that was to put government in charge of it. And I think we've now got 200 plus years of experience to show that that was not a wise approach. Now, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a role for government, but I think the thing that we at the Rio Grande Foundation, and we're a public policy research organization based here in Albuquerque working on issues relating to New Mexico, we know the challenges New Mexico faces in education, and we're going to be talking about some of those in the upcoming hour. But the first issue is, what does government bring to the education area that some other provider couldn't achieve? Why does government, for lack of a better word, run our school system? Generally speaking, you know, we have private schools, we have charter schools, which are kind of a hybrid, but what makes government particularly qualified or capable to actually own and operate the education system in this state, in this country? And I've searched for answers to this question. I don't know any, honestly.
Well, Paul, one of the things that I like about your organization is not only do you offer research and background on what is happening, how the government is doing well, and how the government is failing in some cases. And it's not necessarily your intention to be critical, but to make it better. And I like the fact that you do oftentimes offer solutions and suggestions. And I, my second question is, when you look at New Mexico relative to other states in education, I mean, how do we fare? How are we? I hear research that we are rated in the bottom two in America in terms of quality of education.
Yeah, and that's including the fact that an international test was just released this past week called PISA. I don't have the what that means, PISA, but it made some media headlines and put the United States as a whole not necessarily below all the other countries or anything, but certainly not in the upper echelon with some of the most successful countries. So it's important to know that when we're talking about New Mexico's statistics, it's relating to the national average, which the United States as a whole has some real challenges education-wise. But New Mexico, the data that we tend to use is from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP. You can go online and find NAEP test scores. They use a representative sample of New Mexico or other states' students, and they give them that test. So your child may have gone through 12 years of APS or Rio Rancho or whatever other school, and they may not have ever taken one of these tests because it's not given to every student. But what they do is they try to get a representative sample of the state population of students, and they give them this test, and then they compare across the states and give national numbers. And you're right, New Mexico is way at the bottom. And fourth grade reading is one of the areas. So they do a reading test, not just a fourth grade, but eighth grade, 12th grade. They do math, fourth, eighth, and 12th. They do, they've added in science and a few other subjects, but really math and reading are kind of at the heart of what we're talking about in terms of education and where we really want our students to grasp those concepts.
Well, and of course, it's not just the educational system that is challenged with these issues. We have a culture, we have a lot of poverty, we have homelessness, we have all kinds of other issues, you know, just the basic creation of jobs. We have a negative population growth in our state. So there's cultural issues possibly. So we're going to really talk about some of those issues. And What are some solution to what ails New Mexico education system, Paul?
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this kind of ideal system that I think would involve maybe government not operating and managing the schools, maybe not even funding the majority of kids. And this is kind of pie in the sky. I admit it. This is kind of way out there. No state has this system in place, but it's a thought experiment. It's something that we want to think about in the context of how systems operate and should they operate in that same way. Just because it's been done one way doesn't mean that we shouldn't at least consider doing it another way. So kind of that extremely market-driven free choice option is, in my estimation, the ideal. I don't expect that we'll get there anytime soon, no matter who is in charge of our state's political process at any point in the future. But what I would advocate, and we have advocated, is school choice, putting parents in charge of educational options for their children in New Mexico. Now, charter schools are one option. Charter schools, just to be clear, are public schools that do not discriminate in terms of the students that they accept. So if you have a child and you want to send them to a charter school, A, you will not be asked to spend any money on tuition for them. So it's a myth, and it's something that's important to know that parents sometimes are not aware. They think they're like a private school or something. Charter schools are funded by the taxpayers in the same way that traditional public schools are. So charter schools do a great job, and they're managed by a board of directors of a charter school that is often given some leeway in terms of regulations and kind of concentration on a particular way of doing things. We're right down the street from a classical academy here in Albuquerque that's one of the finest schools in our state, and it's a charter school, Cottonwood Classical. They have a different emphasis, and I know that they're one of the schools that has a huge waiting list. So you would go into a lottery system for a lot of these more prominent, more successful charter schools. My kids have been in the lottery system. They didn't get into the schools that we wanted. They're in a traditional public school. But that is a general concept of what a charter school is. But there's private school options, and there's ways that we can leverage resources that are ultimately put into the system by parents themselves, taxpayers, the oil and gas industry. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that a lot of our education money comes from that source of revenue. And what should we do? I think we should really break open the doors and expand school choice for parents and putting them in charge of what educational opportunities are best for their children.
We are talking about education in New Mexico and in Albuquerque as well, as a primary example, because that's the community we live in. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is our guest. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Sarah Crutchfield with High Desert Hospice. Our family at High Desert Hospice would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Online at highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care. Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Ava Furman Rose. And just between you and me, I think we're finally getting Grandpa to relax a little and not work so hard.
He's so old.
Who's old?
Not you, Grandpa, that's for sure.
Hey, Ava, Stella, watch your step. I just finished mopping and I've got to get back in the kitchen after I finish busting these tables.
I give up. Maybe you can get Grandpa to slow down. Come into Monroe's and give it a try, please. Monroe's on Osuna in the Heights. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Hi, this is John Chitwood. All of us here at Southern Boulevard Automotive want to wish you a very Merry Christmas as we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And we want to wish you all a happy, holy day.
The Winter Movie Marathon at Calvary Knob Hill. Bring a new unwrapped toy for children in need and join us for 14 hours of some of your favorite movies. It's all happening Saturday, December 14th at 10 a.m.
Hey, you didn't say which movies you're going to be showing.
Oh, I'm actually not allowed to say on the radio.
Well, can you say things like, I am your father?
No.
What about, I find your lack of faith disturbing?
No, not that either.
These aren't the robots you're looking for.
That's not even the right line. Look, all I can say is they take place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. We'll be showing episodes 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Stay for the whole thing or just for one of the films. The toys we collect go to children in our community who wouldn't otherwise have a Christmas. Saturday, December 14th at 10 a.m. I'll see you there.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I love you.
I know.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is in studio with us. And I want to let our listeners know that if you have a question for Paul, our call-in line is 505-338-5790. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, and he had just kind of summarized for us where New Mexico kind of stands in the country and some of the challenges that we face specifically. But I want to go now, Paul, to a measurement of the effectiveness of our school system. And maybe it's not, I want to acknowledge up front that this isn't intended to necessarily be a criticism, but as a criteria of evaluation, it seems like we are spending a lot of money per student in the Albuquerque public school system, maybe not with the outcomes that we desire.
No doubt about that. And, you know, again, I'll reiterate, my children do go to an APS school. I think it's unquestionable that New Mexico and Albuquerque face real social, economic, cultural challenges with education and a wide variety of issues. Crime is another one. That all being said, we spend a great deal of money to educate our students, our children, through these systems. And when you're spending the kind of money that we're spending, we expect results to happen. And I don't think we're getting the kind of results that one would expect based on the level of spending here in Albuquerque. So we've run the numbers, and literally anybody can go online, find APS's budget. So you probably want to Google Albuquerque Public Schools, write it all out because there's other APS's out there. And look at their annual budget. And so we did that. I just did that before the show because we've got the numbers from a few years ago, but education spending at APS is growing pretty quickly. The APS annual budget for 2019-2020 is $1.475 billion, one of the biggest entities, bureaucracies, in the state of New Mexico. By their own budget, they have approximately 79,000 students. This number's declined for something like 8 years in a row. Again, APS's own data. If you divide $1.75 billion by 79,000 students, you get $18,680 per student. So that is a lot of money. It is a number that has grown rather dramatically in recent years because the top line, the budget, is growing, and the bottom line, the student population, is falling. And when that kind of dynamic is happening, you're going to wind up spending a lot of money. Now, is that all being used effectively? We definitely believe not. I've seen it firsthand as a parent. I've seen it looking at the policy from the outside and critiquing different things that we've seen over the years from APS. But the fact is $18,680 per student is enough money to get the job done, in my opinion, when it comes to educating our students here in Albuquerque.
So, Paul, when you start talking about managing a big organization like this and coming up with economies of scale, if you will, that are more in tune with national averages, you mentioned Mississippi. We'll have to do some research on that and see what kind of numbers they come up with. But what I guess I'm getting to is, we have unbelievable teachers. I'm sure your children have had some wonderful teachers in APS. And these folks are coming out of pocket. They're doing things to enhance the education of their students. And it seems like that is really difficult because everybody will tell you that our teachers are not paid at a real high level. And I'm sure that nationally, maybe it's a cultural thing in the United States of America that we have not valued teachers enough to pay them a lot of money. But all of this kind of begs the question. You mentioned charter schools. Are there test scores based on this NAIOP standard? Are they higher, pretty significantly higher than what you would see in a typical APS school?
So the thing with charters, and there's a lot of different ways to go on this, but I'll address the charter issue first. Charters in New Mexico, at least, are rated as some of the best schools in the state of New Mexico, and there are a number that are at the very bottom in terms of the performance on these issues. And that is a real problem for the charter community in this state. And that gets into something that, to an extent, prior Governor Martinez attempted to tackle, which is how do we, as a government bureaucracy, we, the state of New Mexico, objectively measure educational success, failure, the overall outcomes. Yes, we have these NAEP data, and like I said, you have the best schools and some of the worst schools, but how do you deal with students in particularly troubled situations? How do you compare students objectively across all of these geographical, cultural, and income socioeconomic issues? Very, very difficult for government to objectively do that. Martinez, her big reform was pushing a lot of that accountability. And quite honestly, you know, we worked on public policy during the Martinez administration. I think everybody will recall Hannah Scandera and kind of the battles that she went through in terms of pushing some of this accountability. It was not well received, definitely by the Democrats, but also a lot of Republicans and the teachers pushed back as well. And I think there's reasonable disagreement there. That's why we say at the Rio Grande Foundation that the best accountability is from parents, and that they should be the ones who really are determining whether the educational options presented to them that they can choose for their own selves and their children are getting the job done or not. It's very difficult for somebody in Santa Fe to say, this is working, that's not working, this is working, that's not working. What I can tell you is the best charter schools in this state all have enormous waiting lists. The lottery, you might as well play the real lottery as far as getting your kid into these schools, because people do know what success looks like, and they want to be a part of that success and have their children participate in that success. So it's a very tricky issue.
Well, it sounds like the charter schools are successful based on their leadership. And I'm going to share something that has to do with a private school. So I was raised in the Albuquerque Public Schools, all the way from first grade, all the way through high school. I think I did not, of my own choice, I did not learn as much as I should have learned, but I still was successful and graduated from college, and I think they prepared me, and I have wonderful memories of all the people that really taught me. Now, along the way, there were people that were not quality teachers. They were there just passing the time, and I don't even really want to mention them because they were few and far between, but my personal experience from the time I was a young child to and in the classroom all the way through high school, my parents were involved, which is a cultural thing that doesn't happen a lot of times. Mm-hmm. The teachers were communicating. There was accountability. There were activities, and we just kept ourselves busy. Now, I made a choice as a parent that we have five children, and they all from the time of kindergarten all the way through high school went to Hope Christian School. They all graduated with honors. I have almost four of them graduated from college and all doing very successful. My last child is just a sophomore, so she's got a couple more years to go. I am extremely happy with the environment and what I would perceive as safe community. Hope was an interesting experience for me because they really did allow the kids to explore their faith personally as an individual. Nothing was jammed down their throat. They just gave them all the information they could so they could make their own faith choices. But the most amazing thing to me about that experience was the participation of the parents. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but average class size of about 20 to 22, 23 kids with a teacher, but there were always four or five parents every day volunteering in those classrooms. And sometimes the parents were, you know, really, really great teachers as well. So you had this community that was helping raise our children. So maybe this is all a function of reducing the size of the community and getting culture changed in our public schools. no idea how to do that, but maybe you have some ideas about that when we come back. We'll be right back with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
And we're back in studio visiting with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. And Elaine, first, thanks for coming back in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've been hearing on the air one of your commercials that's running, and you've really done, well, you do such a great job to help people get into the home of their dreams. But between now and the end of the year, you came up with an idea that's going to make it even easier.
Yeah, that's right. It's my fifth year anniversary as qualifying broker of my brokerage, Ramos Real Estate, and I thought, how can I celebrate? Sometimes you can have a party, but I thought, no, I'd rather give back to my clients, and sometimes I give back through carpet cleaning or something like that, but no, I thought money.
Okay.
Money speaks, and I would love to help my clients out by giving them a $500 credit, which is real money, towards closing costs and prepaids from now to the end of the year.
Well, and then I know you were telling me that you were talking to someone else on your team, Eleanor, about what you were doing.
Yes.
And Eleanor thought it was a great idea.
Yes, Eleanor jumped on the idea. She loved it, and she wanted to participate.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and celebrate with Elaine her 5 years as a qualifying broker and owning her own company. I'm super excited to partner with her on this special, which is I am, in addition to the $500 that she's going to contribute, I will contribute another $500, which will come right off of your closing costs. Together, that special to you is $1,000 off closing costs. And we are super honored and excited to give back to the community and help people accomplish the dream of home ownership.
And let me say right now, for those that are doing the, you know, well, come on. No, it's $1,000. It's real money. It's going to make a real difference in the purchase of a new home. So, Elaine, those that are excited about it and they want to contact you and find out how to make this happen, how do they do that?
They can call me at 505-379-6845 or go to my website, RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. And Paul, I was just telling you about my own personal experience with my five children in a private school. And I was very happy with the results of that. Now, how does their education compare to international students and national students? I can tell you I've graduated three from college, all with honors, and about to do that with the fourth. And of course, not me. It's the efforts of the kids. But, my youngest daughter is also doing very well. So I'm happy with that private education. How do you respond? What are the things that we need to start thinking about culturally and community wise to improve education?
Yeah. And this isn't a discussion about private versus public education. This is about reimagining the way education worked. And you brought up the issue of community and people getting involved. And I think, again, being a parent at an APS school, the hoops you have to go through just to do things like go along on a field trip. And I get the legal ramifications, but those processes, the legal issues, hinder people from getting involved. My wife's on the PTA at our kids' school and just dealing with the day-to-day mundane issues. Some of these things are kind of inherent in the government model, and that's what I'm really targeting, is this idea that government has to provide the bulk of the educational experience for most people. And that does filter down. I went to Catholic schools growing up, and those schools mirror the experience of the traditional public schools, but there's educational options and approaches that are, in some respects, being explored in some charter schools, you know, focusing on, like some kids flying airplanes in high school, going with an arts-driven educational experience, athletics, whatever it might be, having some new approaches. Blended learning, I don't know if you're familiar with blended learning, but blended learning kind of takes the classroom and flips it on its head. It's using technology. Students access the material on their own. So they're reading the book, reading the website, working through maybe problems or experiments on their own. And then when they get the FaceTime with the teacher, they are able to ask their questions and kind of have unlimited question and interaction with the teacher in that stance. And I'm also on the board of a charter school that deals with totally online education. That might not make sense for every student, but there are some students who say, one of the kids that graduated from our charter school just last year, she's got a tennis career in front of her. Being a driven young person who wants to play professional tennis, you're flying and driving and going all kinds of tournaments all the time. Sitting in a regular traditional classroom is not in her day-to-day experience. So learning online for somebody who's driven like that can be a real option. So we just need to get away. You know, there's a lot of pictures that you see of classroom 1950, you know, black and white, students in rows sitting at a desk, teacher in front at the chalkboard. You fast forward to 2019, and still a lot of the classroom experience for kids, not just in public but also in private, is kids sitting in rows at desks with teacher. Maybe it's a whiteboard, maybe it's a machine that they're sitting there experiencing that education. We just need to get beyond kind of the way we've done it all for many, many years.
Paul, let me give you an example from personal experience about something that you're talking about that you may not know about. So back in 2007, I started working with a group of people that owned a video streaming company. And what I did is I approached the New Mexico Activities Association, and we started what was then called NMAA-TV. And the vision was, I had a long broadcast history, broadcasting sports and things, not only in New Mexico, but regionally for a couple of regional networks. And when video streaming technology came out, NMAA-TV was the very first platform in the country to video stream sports in high schools. We even beat CBS before they were starting to video stream, the Final Four and everything to do with March Madness. We were already doing it. Now that organization has now been taken over by the National Federation of High Schools. But the thing that was neat about it is I was told by a bunch of professional broadcasters and a lot of professional educators that children couldn't operate the cameras and do the switching. Well, I had two young students from Hope Christian School that were eighth graders. They produced over 70 games of the state high school basketball tournament. They produced it. They switched the cameras. They coached the play-by-play people. And we had students doing everything. They operated the cameras. They broke down and set up all of the equipment, and they ran the show. Now, we had some adults like myself helping to supervise and helping them as much as possible. But the proficiencies of those students was off the chart. Those kids picked up on that technology so fast, it was ridiculous. So much so that Casa Fox Television in town used a group of these middle school students to help them with the powwow that was held at the pit back in those days, and which was a fabulous production as well. So I knew that if this could be incorporated in curriculum, it would be amazing. Unfortunately, only really one school district came out and really utilized the technology. Portales Schools invested in some technology, and they now video stream all of their sporting events, all of their DECA business competitions, all of their concerts, all of their plays, all of those kinds of things. So they do some amazing things. Now, I know other school districts, like maybe the Roswell School District and stuff, are doing video streaming and doing something in conjunction with the local radio stations, which is amazing. But what I'm talking about is something that the students did. Mm-hmm. So that reinforces your your point all the way. Students can really do a lot more than we think they can.
I totally agree with you, and what a wonderful example of that. And the thing, one of the things that you find out at a lot of big school districts, and APS is no different, is that it's just a matter of getting through the bureaucracy to try to do some of these neat things. And we've tried at our own school, and it's a challenge. There's a lot of people coming right out of high school that, you know, quite frankly, and this gets into the next topic of free college, that they could be easily trained and ready to go as competent adults, having learned what they need to get a job in their next career, that they don't need to go through the college process. But because we've kind of put these constraints on them, these blinders, and taken away vocational education, taken away some of those opportunities that you're talking about, now, in order to be a gainfully employed adult, you really do have to go to college. And there's nothing wrong with college. I actually have an MBA. I have a master's in business administration. But not everybody needs that degree. And we need more people who are involved in professions like what you're talking about, broadcasting, plumbers, electricians, welders, all those kinds of professions that either could or should be trained up by the time they leave high school, ready to be employed.
Well, we are going to come back after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect, and we'll be talking about free college. Stay with us.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secured, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you for blessing the children.
Nothing says Christmas like a water buffalo. No, really. For a poor family in Asia, getting a water buffalo is like getting a farm tractor to pull a plow, or getting a milk truck full of delicious milk, or getting a stand at the market to sell cheese. When you donate a water buffalo to a poor family in Asia, you open the door for them to provide work, food, and income. More importantly, you open the door for them to hear about Jesus. It's a special gift your family will long remember, and a family in Asia will never forget. So if you want your family to do something truly meaningful this Christmas, bless another family, and you can change their lives forever. Call 855-572-4628. That's 855-572-4628. Or go online to knkt.com. Click on the Christmas Critter Campaign. That's online at knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation of New Mexico, is in studio. The Rio Grande Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute, and they are dedicated to increasing liberty and prosperity for all New Mexico citizens. They have ways they try to achieve that by taking a look at what's going on, for example, in the Albuquerque public schools, trying to evaluate the use of money, the statistical information coming up about test scores at the 4th, 8th grade, and 12th grade level, graduation rates, things that they hope are empirical measures of our success. And Paul, you kind of summarized the first half of our program. You've kind of indicated that charter schools have higher test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doing that as efficiently, at least as APS is, monetarily, because mm-hmm. they are funded. They are public schools. And I don't know if there's data available for private schools in our state. Obviously, places like the Albuquerque Academy, Sandia Prep, private schools down in Las Cruces and so forth are having a lot of success a lot of not only students that graduate with honors, but are placed in some of the top universities around the country.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's real tough. And if you talk to people in the public education, the traditional public education situation, they will push back pretty strongly against comparing public and private schools. The traditional public schools, they have to take all comers. And one of the big problems and a thing I think I would love to see addressed, and I think could be a major change, is that they should be able to tell disruptive students to not come back to that school. Now, it can happen, but if you have a classroom of 25 students, it only takes one to disrupt the learning of the other 24. And the fact that the traditional public schools don't have the freedom that the private schools do to say, you can't come back here anymore, at least at the same level, I think that is one of the primary benefits of what private schools have to offer. Now, they also have families that are willing to pay twice for that education.
Sure.
They have generally higher incomes, high educational experiences. One of the things, though, that I think is really different, and I know Hope Christian is relatively a bargain for private schools. I mean, the academy, we're talking $20,000 a year per student. Mm-hmm. That kind of data is one of the reasons I don't send my three kids to a private school, is because the pricing at the private schools has gone up very dramatically. When I was in high school at a Catholic school, it was $2,500 a year. And I've done the inflation adjustment. That school, its tuition now is closer to $13, $14 a year. If you just do an inflation adjustment, it should only be $7,000 a year. There's been a lot of changes in private education that have caused, I think, some of them to lose sight of the way they do things. But there are also a lot of really great – and there's no question that Albuquerque Academy, to name just one, is not just a preeminent school here in New Mexico, but around the entire country when it comes to the sheer talent and intellectual capability of the students they help produce out of that school. But, yeah, it's a different – animal when you talk about private and public schools, especially in New Mexico.
Well, Paul, obviously our radio station reaches out to primarily the faith community. And we hear stories all the time of actual things happening. For example, Feed New Mexico Kids is a local ministry. And they have an incredible partnership with the Albuquerque Public Schools. The Albuquerque Public Schools obviously can't endorse someone being proselytized on a campus. Now, they're not going to have any problem if you talk to someone, a child or an adult, about your faith, but that can't be the primary. You're not going to get in anybody's face. You're going to, you have to be loving and kind and follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problem with that, because I think just outreach and love gets people to understand that there is a God and he's looking over them. But the thing that's amazing to me, and I always want to suggest things. We have a lot of teachers that are very dedicated in the Albuquerque Public Schools. I want to compliment them. I want to thank them. I almost want to thank them as much as I want to thank our first responders, because they are on the front lines and they are having to teach any student they are given without really any choice about that. And some of those kids are not well behaved. So I think about solutions. We have a lot of the faith community involved in feeding kids and doing things like that. How do you think APS might respond to an army, if you will, of volunteers from various churches around Albuquerque just to be available to help teach in the classroom or support the teachers?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, teaching in the classroom, there might be some bureaucracy there. And one of the issues that we have called into question in the state of New Mexico is the way teacher certification is done in the state. Now, that's not to say that every Tom, Dick, and Harry or Harriet who shows up should be able to go into a classroom and teach. However, you do have people who can assist in the classroom just with the teacher. They have teacher assistants. It's one of the reasons that, we see this enlarging bureaucracy where they're paying more people to be in the classroom, not necessarily paying the teachers to retain the best and brightest of those and trying to get that situation going. But that's a different situation. But if you had some volunteers that could help in the classroom, that could be helpful.
And I'm not even talking about necessarily helping in the classroom other than being present, taking care of work that the teachers typically have to do. For example, teachers that I've known, they spend an incredible amount of time grading papers and tests. Well, that's something that a volunteer group could do, and be very confident doing it, especially people that are elderly, that are really looking for something to do. So I just don't know if there's a way to mobilize a lot of people to come out and say, we are ready, APS, to help you, and we'll do anything and everything it takes, and we'll show up every day, and we'll be available to your teachers. To me, even though the organization is still huge, it creates community when you have adults available in every classroom. So that's just a suggested idea.
I agree with you. My dealings with APS, and it's not just APS, it's kind of government-oriented entities in general, no matter their size. And of course, APS is one of the 50 largest school districts in the entire country. But, I think it gets somewhat worse when you have larger bureaucracies, but, the challenge becomes getting through those bureaucratic hoops, legal, and all the various qualifications that people might have to go through in order to be included in that kind of discussion. Like I said, to get just a background check for a field trip to go on with your child to the zoo or to the aquarium or whatever various things, it is a lot of work to actually put kids' papers and correcting them. It gets a lot more bureaucratic. I think those are things that private schools have the flexibility. It's one of the reasons that those schools can and should, I think, be a more a larger part of our educational framework here, rather than let's just do government first. Let's consider ways to get beyond government as such an inflexible institution being in charge of the educational bureaucracy, being in charge of educating our students. Government is not able to do a lot of those things very effectively or efficiently.
Well, one of the reasons I make the suggestions that I make is because these are not line items on a budget.
Right.
These are people that want to come in and work and help and serve and just care for people. And care and love is really something that I think needs to be a great motivation in our education system. But there are also some well-intentioned things that seem to be astronomically expensive. We're going to talk about that in our final segment with you right after these messages. We're going to be talking about the proposal to provide free college to citizens of New Mexico. We'll be right back with Paul Gessing. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Here's Skip Heisen with a hot spot about you in the economy of God.
God brought them out to the wilderness, where there were no natural resources. He gave them water from the rock. He gave them manna from heaven. He miraculously preserved them for 40 years.
Israel is a special treasure to him. So are you.
I wonder if you see you like God sees you. I don't know that they felt much like a special treasure with dust all over their feet and all over their body and all that they had been through.
Get more teachings from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
You are a special treasure to God.
Treasure to God.
What you need to know is this. The worth of an object is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for that object.
Follow the Connect with Skip Heitzig podcast on Spotify.
And if God sent his only son out of heaven for you, because you were that important to him, then you have no right saying that you're worthless when God says you're a special treasure.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University, with online classes from Pastor Skip Heisen, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or a PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
One final segment with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. The Rio Grande Foundation does a lot of research. Paul's daily activities are reading, writing, speaking, and coordinating some interns. Paul,
you got it. Yeah, there's plenty of different activities at the Rio Grande Foundation to do, and never a dull moment, and never one day just like the other, and that's one of the reasons it's so interesting and fun.
And Paul, this information is out there for the public to really get a handle on. How do they get in touch with the Rio Grande Foundation?
Yeah, they can go to our website, riograndefoundation.org, or we have a regularly updated blog that we comment and write about various issues happening in our community, errorsofenchantment.com. Someday we want to change that to successes of enchantment, but until we get some of these public policy issues addressed, that's where we are. You can find me at P Gessing on Twitter. There's no U in my last name, so at P-G-E-S-S-I-N-G. That's my Twitter handle, and I talk a lot about the issues we're dealing with there, and they can call us up, 505-264-6090.
Well, I appreciate that because I want our listeners to be able to go to resources where they can read about ongoing issues. And you don't just cover education. What are some of the other things you look at?
Well, our big, broad issue area is New Mexico economy. And I really consider education a part of our economic involvement situation. There's no reason why, as we've talked about, education per se should be separated from the economy. I know people often don't like to think about economics and education in the same mouthful, but hey, this is a state that is challenged in a variety of educational statistics. I think having a higher performing education system, there's no doubt it would help us attract more businesses. And then, of course, training young people, entrepreneurs, small business people themselves, having those folks ready to go when they get out of high school or college would improve the state's economy as well. So we look at really the economy, which includes education, and then we focus on the U.S. and New Mexico constitutions. We try to judge all policies based on, are they legal under the rules that were originally adopted both by the founding fathers and by those who organized New Mexico's state constitution.
Paul, when you take a look, I want to evaluate this question from a well-intended perspective. I want to believe that our governor is, in the interest of educating all of our populace, wants to provide free college. But at the same time, I step back and I think about what you just said about the economy. Can we possibly pay for that, for everybody to go to college for free?
Well, That is an interesting conversation. So right now, obviously, with the oil and gas money flowing into this state, we have ample money for this and many other programs. Whether we have that amount of money on the long term, the sustainable basis, that's a different question. But we just spent, Jim, 45 minutes talking about issues and problems in our K-12 education system. We have a system, at least in Albuquerque, where we spend over $18,600 annually, and I think it's self-evident that we're not getting the job done in our K-12 system. So one is what really the governor should be contemplating and considering all options, not just the politically preferable ones for her and her political allies, including but not limited to the teachers unions. But what are we doing to get a K-12 system in primetime shape where we are generating lots and lots of really highly qualified, ambitious, ready-to-go young people? We don't want to use free college as a backstop, essentially, a net to help stop the problem at the K-12 system. Essentially, what I'm saying is kids are not prepared when they graduate high school, so now we have to put more money into college so that they are actually prepared to enter the workforce by college. So covering up the flaws of the K-12 system through free college. On the flip side of that, given our current K-12 system, given the shortcomings we have in seeing educated young people graduate from those schools, a lot of them aren't going to be ready for college to begin with. Even if you provide it for free, it's not going to do them a darn bit of good if they're not ready to go into those schools. So I really see this as a red herring discussion that we're having on free college. But it is going to be discussed and considered in the 2020 legislative session in January. So it's something that people do need to be aware of.
Now, I understand that legislative session, Paul, is going to be primarily a budget session.
Well, it's a 30-day session, and those are primarily budget sessions. But the governor, both parties, can and will put their own priorities up for discussion. This is one that is already, I think, sufficiently important to the governor that she's going to put this on the call, so to speak. So it will be discussed. And given the makeup of the legislature, I suspect we will see a rubber stamp for this $35 million, at least initially. That's what they're saying. I think it's going to be a lot bigger than that long term, as you talked about the finances.
Paul, thank you for the time today on ABQ Connect. We appreciate you and get you on here soon.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the time.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.